This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
Dear Lord God, we pray for everyone today. We pray, I particularly pray for Bishop Maria Manuel, who in Australia, Sydney, last Sunday. He's a popular pastor on the YouTube, and he's a member of the Assyrian Orthodox Church, so he's born again, and he's a powerful preacher. He was in his church last Sunday in Sydney, Australia. And a young man of 16 rushed in and stabbed him very, very many times and various other people. He said he did it because the bishop, Maria Manuel, had insulted his prophet. So he must have been a student of Islam. Lord, we pray that he will be healed and all the people around him will be healed today. And we ask, Lord, for protection for everyone listening to this program, and protection for every pastor, every elder, anyone who preaches from the pulpit. Lord, let us continue to speak the truth with conviction and protect our lives and our families' lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen.
I say amen to that. Folks, welcome aboard. Pastor Michael Cummins in the house. My friend, welcome back. The mic is yours.
Thank you so much. Well, as you know, we were speaking last week, and we've spoke before, about the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Where does he come from? We know he's coming. Many people think that he's already in the world. Many people have said online and have written books that they believe that he's got links with the Roman Catholic Church, and he may have even studied in the Roman Catholic Church. There are those that say he's a Jew from the tribe of Dan, and there's many people said over the years, people with the Antichrist spirit, Napoleon, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Idi Amin, Pol Pot, etc., etc., etc. But I saw Pastor John McCarthy preaching online a few weeks ago, and he suggested the Islamic Mahdi and the Antichrist are the same person. So I've been studying the Mahdi and been studying various articles about him. So I've made a show up today based on that, and I want to ask you a question. And I always play devil's advocate. I leave it to you to make your minds up. Is the Antichrist, the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi spoken about in Shiite Muslim traditions? Now, let's tell you a bit about what they say. And first of all, I'm going to tell you about the Hadith. Now, there's two books that Muslims read. One, of course, is the Quran, which they believe is divine, and it came directly down from God, given to the angel Gabriel, and it was delivered. And others believe in the Hadith. Hadith being an Arabic word, which really is a commentary, a bit like a commentary. Muslims believe that the word Hadith is derived from the Arabic root, which is Hadith, which means conversation, discussion, speech, and small talk. In English, it's translated as report, saying, or tradition. All these discussions were reportedly spoken of in the presence of Muhammad and include law, history, theology, and ritual. The Hadith is sent to provide the Muslim communities with Islamic culture throughout their history. I believe there's been over 14 Hadiths that have been written by various Islamic scholars. And the Quran that they read from now is actually the 1922 version called the Cairo Quran. That's just to give you some background study. Now, with increasing problems in the Middle East in recent years, and you know, we turn our televisions on and we see some of the things that are happening in Gaza. We see Iran has got involved in the attacks on Israel.
Brother Michael?
And there's, yes?
Forgive me for the interruption. Your mic is a little too close to your mouth. Can you pull it back just a little bit?
Yes, yes. How's that? Okay?
Okay, that's better.
All
yes,
right.
Sir. I
okay.
was getting a little bit of feedback. You're good now.
Okay,
keep going.
For the feedback.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. I'll start again. With increasing problems in the Middle East, and we've noticed recently Iran has got involved and they've been attacking Israel with drone missiles. Thank God very few of them have got through. And Shiite Muslims, they believe in the 12th Imam. And many people are asking how Muslim prophecy relates to biblical prophecy. Especially, many will ask if the Islamic Muslim Antichrist is a probability. To answer, we must first find out about the 12 Imam and what he is expected to do for Islam. Secondly, we must examine the statements by Shiite Muslims in relation to those hopes. And third, we have to check the Bible for information regarding what the Word of God says. Within the branch of Shiite Islam, there has been 12 imams, or spiritual leaders, which is said is sent by Allah. These began with Imam Ali, who was a cousin to Muhammad, who claimed prophetic succession after Muhammad's death. Around AD 868, the 12th Imam was named as Abu al-Qasim Muhammad, or Muhammad al-Mahdi. And he was born to the 11th Imam. Because his father was under increased persecution, the Mahdi was constantly in hiding from about the age of six when his father was killed. He briefly came out of hiding but disappeared again. It is said that the Mahdi has been hiding in caves ever since and will supernaturally return just before the Day of Judgment to eradicate all oppression that Muslims are suffering in the world. bringing harmony and peace to the earth. He is the saviour of the world in Shiite theology. According to many writers, the Mahdi will combine the dignity of Moses, the grace of Jesus, and the patience of Job in one person. These predictions about the 12th Imam have a striking similarity to Bible prophecies of the end times. According to Islamic prophecy, the Mahdi's return will be preceded by a number of events during 3 years of horrendous world chaos, and he will rule over the Arabs and the world for 7 years. His appearance will be accompanied by two resurrections, one of the wicked, one of the righteous. According to Shiite teachings, Jesus will accept the Mahdi's leadership, and the two great branches of the Abrahamic covenant will be united together forever. The former president of Iran, and I find it difficult to pronounce his name, but I'll have a go, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he's a deeply committed Shiite Muslim, and he claims to be preparing Iran for the coming back of the Mahdi in order for the Islamic world to be saved. But it must be in a state of chaos and subjugation, and the leader of Iran feels he's being directed by God himself to pave the way for that. He has made statements about destroying the enemies of Islam. That means the Jews and the Christians. The Iranian president and his cabinet have supposedly signed a contract with al-Mahdi in which they pledge themselves to do the work of the Mahdi. As a Christian, this might feel shocking to us, but before we get shocked, we need to examine what is said. Now, the first thing I want to examine is that the Mahdi will be in leadership and Jesus will succumb to his leadership. Now, I remember seeing the old Pope, the Polish Pope, Pope John Paul, many years ago going to Turkey. And when he stepped off the plane, there was a young lady there holding a placard up. And she said, "Jesus is not the Son of God, he's a prophet of Islam." Let's have a look what 2 Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11 say. Hallelujah. "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Philippians 2, verse 9 says, "Therefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." That's what it says. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So these words that are said in Shiite teachings, that Jesus will accept the Mahdi's leadership, that's not backed up by the Bible. The Bible says the very opposite, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If we go to Romans 14, verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So there's three scriptures there that say that the Mahdi will not be in leadership and Jesus will bend his knee to nobody, but everyone else will bend their knee to Jesus. Now, the Mahdi is not written about in the Quran. It's spoken about in the Hadith, which, if you like, is the commentary. A bit like the Torah is for the Jews. Hallelujah. So, what does all this have to do with the Antichrist, the powerful man of sin in the end times? Let's have a look what the Bible says. Let's have a look at Revelation 6, verse 2. Revelation 6, verse 2. Write these notes down. I know the show's going to be recorded, but if you can, write some notes down, because notes do well to refresh our minds where to look. Revelation 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's what it says. So the Antichrist will come, and he will ride that white horse, and he will come forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I do believe that in Islamic faith, they suggest that they should conquer the world. And we know, if we look at Europe, we look at Spain, that was Islamic for many hundreds of years. So was Portugal. So was the south of France. And so was Italy, up to, I believe, Naples. And I've heard Islamic scholars say that those countries must be conquered again. Let's have a look at Daniel. Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured up on the desolate. So this is, we're talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, as we know, will pose as a man of peace. He will come and he will conquer. And he will say to people, look, I'm going to make things better for you. And we believe that for a season, the economy is going to be good. There'll be peace in the world. And there'll be a peace treaty signed between Israel and some of the Arab states. So the Antichrist will rise as a man of peace, ready to put the world to rights. He will promise a false peace. Could be welcomed by a world hungry for a ceasefire and security. Some may see him as the Mahdi. Others may see him as a Messiah. In fact, Jesus warned that the Antichrist would mimic the true Messiah and be accepted by those who have rejected Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have a look at John 5, verse 43, and see what it says. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. So many people are waiting. They'll be fed up of unemployment. They'll be fed up of economic breakdown. They'll be fed up of wars all over the world. And when this man comes speaking of peace, speaking of this false peace, they will be ready to receive him. Hallelujah. There are a few other parallels between the Bible and Shiite Islamic theology that we should know. First, the Bible says that the tribulation period will last for 7 years. And Islam claims that the 12th Imam will rule the world for the same amount of time. Secondly, Muslims anticipate 3 years of world chaos, revealing the 12th Imam. And the Bible speaks of 3.5 years of tribulation before the Antichrist reveals his true nature by desecrating the Jewish temple, which we've just read about. Third, the Bible describes the Antichrist as a deceiver who claims to bring world peace, but who actually brings widespread war. The expectation of the 12th Imam is that he will bring peace through massive wars with the rest of the world. Will the Antichrist be a Muslim? Only God knows. Are there connections between Islamic end time preaching and Christian end time preaching? There seems to be direct things that are alike. Reading the descriptions of great battle, we read the description of the Battle of Armageddon. In Shiite Islam, they say there will be a massive war and the Mahdi will conquer. First, there is the perspective of the loser trying to save face. We believe that, as we said before, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. We believe that Jesus will conquer mightily at the Battle of Armageddon, and no one can ever defeat Jesus. We as Christians believe he is God. We believe he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, and the Lion of Judah. Of course, prophecies of the 12 Imam should not be considered equal to biblical prophecies. The book of Revelation given to John on the island of Patmos stands on its own, and it can't be equal to anything else. Please excuse me while I clear my throat. Thank you. Sorry about that. Only the Bible, we believe only the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's possible to interpret some elements of Islamic end time teaching in a way that agrees with Daniel and Revelation. But that does not lend any credence to the rest of Shiite theology. Hallelujah. As I said, John McCarthy stated that the Islamic Mahdi is the Antichrist. Until we see the fulfillment of these things, we need to heed our words. We need to be careful what we say, and we need to constantly be studying the Bible and studying Revelation in particular. The Bible says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Let's have a look at 1 John 4, verses 1 to 4. We read it last week, I'll read it again. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in you, of course, is our beloved Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about something. Sometimes you see things many years in advance. And sometimes these things, you know, you're reminded of later on. 1969, I went to see a film called Khartoum. And it starred Charlton Heston, who played General Gordon. And it played Laurence Olivier, who played the Mahdi. Now, the Mahdi in this, Mahdi, he said that he had a gap between his front teeth, and I remember him showing that in the film. I've read about the Islamic Mahdi, who they say will have a very broad forehead and a prominent nose. But in this film, the Mahdi, and his aim was to capture Khartoum. And he said that he would speak in every mosque from Cairo to Constantinople. Now, as I say, the Quran makes no mention of him. According to Shiite belief, he will be the 12th Imam. And in this film in 1969, General Gordon, the British general, was dispatched by Gladstone, the British Prime Minister, to Khartoum, which in those days was part of Egypt and was protected by the British, because the Mahdi, whose real name is Mohammed Ahmed, who proclaimed himself as the Mahdi, was attacking and taking over the Middle East. He had wiped out the British army who had been sent to defend Khartoum. And Gordon was sent there. There were six gunboats in the river, the Nile. There was 7,000 British and Egyptian troops. And General Gordon initially got all the women and children out of Khartoum. In the film, he goes to see the Mahdi, the man whose name is Mohammed Ahmed, the man who claimed to be the Mahdi. And the Mahdi told him of the miracles that God would do for him. And General Gordon, who was a devout Christian, a Scotsman, he told the Mahdi that he too could do miracles through Jesus Christ. It's a magnificent film. It's called Khartoum. Anyway, he goes into Khartoum. They get the women out into safety. They get them up into Egypt. And the Mahdist army decides to lay siege to Khartoum. They're running out of water. They're running out of food. And the food they do have has gone rotten. Now, the Mahdist troops numbered 50,000. General Gordon's troops numbered 7,000. The entire city's inhabitants were slaughtered, including General Gordon, who was impaled on a spear. There's a famous scene when he comes out on the balcony and all his troops have been butchered, and an Islamic soldier throws a spear at him and he gets speared and he dies. Initially, people are looking at him. He was very blonde and a very handsome man. He must have looked totally different to any other man who had been seen in that part of the Middle East. His body was impaled on a spear and his body was taken to the Mahdi. In the film, the Mahdi sees the body of General Gordon and screams and yells. And it's believed that he had thought he had murdered a servant of God. Now, the Mahdists controlled Khartoum until 1898, when British troops led by General Kitchener defeated the Mahdi and his troops at the famous Battle of Omdurman. The first Mahdi, Muhammad Ahmed, he died in 1885. 1885, just 1 year after Khartoum. And Khartoum, the siege of Khartoum, lasted from the 13th of March 1884 to the 26th of January 1885. And Muhammad Ahmed, who claimed to be the Mahdi, died shortly after that. It said he was never the same after seeing General Gordon's dead body. He experienced terrible dreams and nightmares, and he believed he had killed a servant of God. As I said, the Mahdi's ambition was to speak in every mosque between Cairo and Constantinople. He never managed that. After his death, he was replaced by Khalifa Abdullah, and the Khartoum was called the Mahdiya, or Mahdi state. And that state was then built on slavery and war and a strict Islamic code. You could say Sharia law was imposed on the people with terror. At the Battle of Omdurman, where General Kitchener's army defeated the Mahdist army, Winston Churchill was actually a war correspondent. He was a war correspondent there. So we can say now that if the Shiite Islamic words are true, then he wasn't the Mahdi because he died. Now, Jesus Christ, who we believe is immortal, and we believe he will live forever, he will never be killed, then Jesus Christ is not going to bow and scrape to anyone, especially someone who's a mere mortal. So that's what is said about the Mahdi. That's what's said about that part of history. Now, I leave it up to you. I'm going to add a few things to it which we need to discuss. Hallelujah. I used to go to Speaker's Corner years ago. There used to be an American preacher called Jay Smith. You can find him online. He's a Canadian, I think, who now lives in America. And I used to go there and try and look after him, because the Muslims who used to go to Speaker's Corner used to get very angry when Christians read the Bible. Used to get very angry, and they used to attack him. He used to preach on a podium, and he used to have the Quran in one hand and the Bible in the other, and they was always attacking him. I used to stand there in front of him and try and defend him from any attacks. My wife used to come, about six women from the church, and we used to meet others there who used to go and listen to him preach and teach. He could speak Arabic. He was a wonderful man, and I was glad I met him. One day while I was there, somebody who was aligned to our group did something stupid because he became frightened. He became intimidated by a group of Muslims, and he put his hand in his pocket to make it look like he was holding a gun or holding some means of protection. And they went and got the police, and the police thought it was me, and they picked on me and they searched me. And of course, I had a little bit of money on me, a set of keys. That's about all I had. And they threw me out of Speaker's Corner, Hyde Park. Though it's legal to debate there, they threw me out. And I had a heated argument with a couple of policemen there. So it's a very wild place to go. And if Christians do go there, they've really got to know the Bible. They've got to know what they're talking about. And these questions come up all the time. And one of the questions that comes up all the time, which I want to discuss, is Muhammad was the comforter. Now let's have a look what Jesus said while he was still on the earth, before he left the earth, so we can really know what we're talking about. Jesus said, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge," and that's very, very true. Christians used to go to Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, and they were asked questions and they couldn't answer them. Shame on them. If you go to a place like that where you're going to be under pressure to debate with people who have spent their lives studying the Quran, it's only right that we know what we're talking about. And that's why I'm speaking about this today, the Comforter. Let's have a look at John 14, verses 16 to 17. John 14, verses 16 to 17. "And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you." Verse 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Let's have a look at John 14, verses 26 and 27. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This is Jesus speaking of the Comforter. And he said the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Luke 24. Verses 49 to 53. And it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as to," and he led them out as far as to Bethany. "And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. Hallelujah. So, the word, the Comforter. Jesus was the Paraclete. Paraclete means the Holy Spirit, Advocate, Counselor. And that's what he's talking about in John 14. The origin of the word Paraclete, the late Latin, from the original Greek Parakletos, meaning Advocate, Counselor, or Helper. Para means beside or alongside. In the original Greek version of the Bible, it says Jesus was a paraclete and he went to be with the Father so another paraclete would come, the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had many debates with Muslims who have said Muhammad was the Comforter. I saw a video from Times Square in New York where a large group of Muslims were praying and their leader was saying that Muhammad was the Comforter. And this upset me quite badly because all around there were New Yorkers going to and from work, going shopping, going in and out of restaurants. And no Christian took this man on and said, "Jesus is the Comforter." Now, why do, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Jesus went to be with the Father so the Holy Spirit could send the other Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So why do I think that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter? Well, we know when Jesus died and went to be with the Father, he told his people before he went that they must wait in the upper room to be empowered from on high. And they were up there for 40 days and 40 nights. Muhammad was born 600 years after Jesus. So how can this be? How can this be that somebody born 600 years after Jesus would be the Holy Spirit which Jesus had spoken about while he was still on the earth? He told his disciples to wait to be empowered on a fire. And we'll read in a short time what happened on the day of Pentecost. But they wasn't told to wait 600 years. Now, when you've got a religion that you claim to be divine, of course you'll stand by every dot and title of your religion. But sometimes you have to look at things and realize that doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense to suggest Muhammad was the Comforter after he was born 600 years after the death of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came down 40 days and 40 nights after the death of Jesus. I'm going to read Acts 1 verses 2 to 8. And listen to what it says. Acts 1 verses 2 to 8. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'll read verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. So I think that makes it absolutely clear who the Comforter is. The Comforter is the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, which came down on the day of Pentecost and filled all those who were in the upper room, those disciples of Jesus who were there. To me, it seems completely illogical and ridiculous to suggest that the Comforter was born 600 years after Jesus, as I believe it's equally ridiculous to suggest that when the Mahdi is revealed, that Jesus will bow down to him and Jesus will accept his leadership. We believe Jesus is God. We believe Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no name higher than Jesus anywhere in heaven. The highest name is the name of Jesus. Now, people have to be getting used to debating these things without fear, of being attacked, without fear of being bullied. As I say, I used to go to Speaker's Corner in London. It is a scary place. But remember, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. You are strengthened as the hand of the Lord your God is upon you. And in all things, you are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Let's read about what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. And I won't read it quick. I want you to hear every word. Because this is the day when the Holy Spirit came upon the earth. The promised Holy Spirit. The promised Comforter. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation unto heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Hallelujah. Hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken past in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Let's look at verse 21st. We've recently had, haven't we? We've recently had an eclipse. We've had an eclipse, a lunar eclipse. To some people, the moon was turned into blood. I want to go back to verse 11. Those present who heard their own tongues being spoken. Verse 11 says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So there was Arabians there, people from countries which are now Islamic. They were there when the Holy Spirit was poured down on the day of Pentecost. So this is not Muhammad coming down. This is the power of God coming down. And it says there, everyone who was there. It says Libya about Cyrene. That today is an Islamic country. Egypt, in an Islamic country. Cappadocia, Turkey, that's an Islamic country. So all these countries that have now been conquered by Islam, they were countries that were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were Jesus' original followers. Now, that tells us something. That tells us that the day of Pentecost is the day when the true comforter came down. And that true comforter is with us now. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. Now, many Christians will say, who have spoken in tongues, I did a deliverance yesterday on a woman who's been demonized because people who have used witchcraft on her for many years. And when I phoned her up, I usually say similar prayers. I worship God. I give him all the praise, the honor, the glory, etc., etc. And then I start praying. Sometimes I read a scripture from the book of Revelation. I'll read Revelation 20 telling Satan of what's going to happen to him. But this particular time I started speaking in tongues. And I have to tell you, I'm not a prolific tongue speaker. I do speak in tongues, but it's not prolific. And I spoke in tongues as she answered the phone. And demons left her immediately. So the demons who were in this young woman recognized the tongues that I said and believed they were from the Holy Spirit and vacated the woman immediately. So the power of the Holy Spirit is mighty. I also believe the Holy Spirit is a teacher and a guide. And it teaches us all things about the end time, especially about the return of Jesus. So I just wanted to put the matter right about the Comforter. I've heard many Islamic scholars say the Comforter was Muhammad. And as for me, perhaps I'm stupid. I just can't see it. I can't find any grounds to say that the Comforter is anyone but the Holy Spirit. Getting back to the Mahdi. If the Mahdi is the Antichrist and he comes back and he rules for 7 years, and we Christians can align that to the tribulation period, then when Jesus returns, Jesus is going to do battle with him. And we know at Armageddon, at the Valley of Megiddo, Jesus will destroy the weapons of Satan with the sword or the word, the sword of the Spirit, the word which will come out of the mouth of Jesus. Please excuse me. I've got a terrible tickle in my throat today. I don't know why. I had a nosebleed this week, and my throat has felt bad ever since. So forgive me for coughing. So when we look at the Mahdi now, we know that the Islamic world is preparing for him to come, and they will see him as a prophet sent by Allah. They will say again that he will have the dignity of Moses, the grace of Jesus, and the patience of Job. There's questions we need to ask, and these questions are simply this. Is the Antichrist that we read about in the Bible and the Mahdi, which is spoke about in the Hadith, the same person? Is there going to be a calamitous war between Christianity and Islam? We're seeing things today that are coming out of the Islamic world. We've seen it for many years now, acts of terrorism. We've seen it a lot in London, where people have been stabbed. Quite near where I live, there's a South London suburb called Streatham. A few years ago, people were stabbed as they walked down the road. At London Bridge, a few years ago, people were stabbed. And now, last Sunday, we saw Bishop Marie Emmanuel. Bishop Marie Emmanuel, and he has been stabbed while preaching. He was about to take Mass. Now, he's an Orthodox believer, but he's also born again. So he believes the Orthodox version of the Bible. So things are happening. Things are going to happen. But what we must do, we must lean on the truth. For we know only the truth will set us free. And we're living in scary times. Go back to General Gordon in those years when he protected Khartoum from the then man who called himself the Mahdi. Another word for the Mahdi is the appointed one. Appointed means appointed by God. And he's appointed to create the one world caliphate when Islam will rule supremely. Now, the Bible speaks about the return of Jesus and speaks about the new heaven and the new earth, speaks about the rapture when those who love Jesus will be taken up to meet him in the air. The dead in Christ will rise. We know that the evil, those who are with Satan, will rise as well. And they will rise to eternal damnation. We will rise to eternal life with the Lord Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. So I say to anyone listening to this program now, we do not mean as Christians to offend anyone, to offend anyone's beliefs. But we believe we have a right to speak the truth. The truth that comes from the Old Testament. The truth that comes from the epistles. The truth that comes from the gospel. And truly the truth that comes from the book of Revelation. And I'm going to finish with a quote from the book of Revelation, which is Revelation 22 from verse 12 down to verse 16. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. Amen. God bless you all. Hope you like the preaching. Amen.
Amen. Great message today, Brother Michael.
Thank you.
What would you like to call this for the archive?
Is the Antichrist Islamic?
By the way, I wanted to tell you the movie cartoon, one of my all-time favorites.
Yes. Well, as you know, it's a wonderful movie. And, you know, and Laurence Olivier was magnificent.
He sure
playing
was.
Playing the Islamic Mahdi, you know.
Charlton Heston, and one of my favorite actors.
He looks like General Gordon. If you see a photo of General Gordon, early photos, Charlton Heston looks just like him.
I knew nothing about the history of the Sudan and the battles that went on there. That is a epic movie. I encourage people to get it. I even bought a copy this past year to watch it again.
Amen. Magnificent film.
I love all Charlton Heston's movies. In fact, he was such a great actor that my first son, who's now, well, how old is he? He's 26. I named him Heston after
Amen.
Charlton Heston.
Amen.
A little bit of Omega Amen. Man trivia. But I want to thank you for coming on today. And Brother Michael, I want you to give out your contact information. Tell people about your church and how they can reach you and support your work.
Well, if you wish to support me, if you go on to my website, which is Frame, FRAME, Cummins, CUMMINS, 123 at AOL.com. My mobile number, which you can get me on WhatsApp, you can ring me free of charge, is 07469-235351. And Lord God in heaven will bless you if you support this ministry, because all we're trying to do is set the captives free. I do deliverance every week without fail, either over the phone or in person at the church. The church is called Kilburn Christian Fellowship. It's in London, NW6. You can find it online through myself. We meet every Sunday from 11 to 1, and then I do a couple of hours of deliverance and healing with people afterwards. We have Bible study on Thursday from 12 noon to 2 in the afternoon, and Friday evening we do prayer intercession. Pray for the whole of the world, all the political situations, and we pray from 7 o'clock onwards. So it would be wonderful to see people there.
Folks, every week we have Brother Michael Cummins on this broadcast. And Brother, we appreciate you, love you, and thank you for a great job today, as always, on these preparing these messages.
Well, I was hopeful that people would understand the message I was trying to give them. I wasn't beating up Islam. I was just trying to speak the truth, and for all those listening to know the truth about who the Comforter was, and if the Mahdi is truly the Antichrist, then he will face Jesus in combat.
That's right.
So I just wanted people to get to know, to learn that, because there's a lot of fear in the world today. And people are frightened, especially people in London and many of the cities of Britain. Through political correctness, their freedom of speech has been taken away from them. And unfortunately, when freedom of speech is taken away, that brings a rise to right-wing politics. When people wish to claim back what they think they've lost. And we just pray for Britain today, that Britain is restored as a Christian country. We are a Christian country by name only, I believe. And so that's all. I love my country. as I love you all in the United States of America. My second favorite country is America. I love Americans. You know, I read the other day Abraham Lincoln was a cricket fan.
Really?
Now, most Americans don't know anything about cricket. But by all accounts, Abraham Lincoln and the early founding fathers, of course, they all have English roots, a lot of them. So they developed a love for the game of cricket. I was amazed.
That's amazing. That's trivia I didn't
know. All right. Yeah, that's amazing. So I love America. I love the United States. I love everything about America. And I'm America's best friend. And as I always say, what people have said in the past, hands across the ocean. Hallelujah. I was reminded by a listener today about a wonderful book that I read many years ago. It's The United Kingdom and the USA in Prophecy, written by Herbert Armstrong, who's now long been dead. And he predicted in the 1930s the European Union, that Britain would join later on and wouldn't stay in there long. He prophesied that. That must have come from God.
He got that one right.
Must have come from God. Anyway, love you all. God bless you all. Look forward to being with you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brother Michael. God bless you. Folks, that was Michael Cummins. Okay, coming up next, we got Robert Avalon. Stand by. I'm going to refresh.